means that the number one pick in the 2021 NBA draft goes to the Detroit Pistons.
Who's got the number one pick in this year's draft? Who's got the number one pick in this year's draft?
Basketball!
Select Isaiah Stewart.
The Detroit Pistons select Killian Hayes.
Sadiq, that was absolutely sensational.
I don't know what went into that process. I met the criteria to be selected, but I wasn't.
From long range.
Detroit basketball!
Pistons fans, welcome back to another edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast, part of the Believe Podcast Network. I'm your host, Mike Anguilano, and joining me for the first time in our trifecta are both Aaron Johnson and Jasper Apollonia. Fellas, how are we doing?
Mike, doing great. I'm not going to take too much time to introduce myself. We're both very excited to be bringing on Jasper to this podcast on a full-time scale. The fans, the listeners, love Jasper on the show, so I know you and I were excited to get him on here. And without further ado, our guy Jasper.
Oh, I'm equally as excited, if not more so. As anyone who follows me on Twitter knows, I can't get enough about talking about the Pistons, and it's always a pleasure to talk to the both of you and really everyone in our fantastic Palace of Pistons. Consortium? I think that's really what we have going on here. So I'm happy to be here. And I'm really looking forward to the next few months, especially of the Pistons, right before we get into this regular season.
And this regular season will be here before you know it. It's going to be it might be a little slower than normal, because as soon as the Pistons take Cade Cunningham, it's going to be just a slow slog until the regular season, because the anticipation will be palpable until we get up into the regular season. And of course, we'll be talking about Cade Cunningham on this podcast. Some news came out about potentially maybe the Pistons evaluating other players, other top three picks. We have that and plenty more to get to, including Sadiq Bey and Isaiah Stewart being named to the USA Select team. But first, of course, our first sponsor and our only sponsor of this pod is Bet Online. The month of July is heating up with a ton of exciting sports action, and Bet Online is where you can find it. From basketball and hockey playoffs, which I believe are almost over, to baseball's marquee matchups, including prop bets and futures, BetOnline has all the latest odds, news, and information for your online sports betting needs. So visit the website today or use your mobile device to sign up, join, and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So before the next tip-off, face-off, or first pitch, head on over to BetOnline and start playing today. BetOnline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Join and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit.
So I won, I think, $11 on the Tigers.
Whoa.
Today. You could say that I'm a gambling degenerate, a gambling junkie right now. I'm kind of in a rhythm. I've won a couple. DraftKings gave me a ton of free casino credits that I absolutely cashed in on at the blackjack table. So I'm like all the way in. I talk about it at work there's like a group that just started talking about it. And then one day I was just like, all right, I'm going to download it. I'm 21 now. I can legally do it. Started doing it. And now it's just something that comes up every day. I'm a big betting guy right now. So this ad, it just works for me. You guys want to hit that 50% welcome bonus up. Like, that's a good deal.
I was going to say, Aaron, you know, they always say you should advertise what you love. And clearly that's what's happening here. Exactly. Talk about what you know, right? Hey, I won a nice tenner on my beloved Italian national soccer team yesterday. I'm going to let that thing ride for this Sunday. I'm hoping they can take down those dreaded blokes from England. So you and me are in the same boat, buddy.
The three Italians are all in on Italy. Now, okay, my last name is Johnson. I understand, but I'm a Russo at heart from my mom's maiden name. So this is three Italians here recording this podcast, and we're all in on Italy.
And we're all in on the Pistons. Luigi Datome would be very proud of us, right?
Goodness, that kind of hits. Like, I guess I can hit our Mitch McGarry for the week, Mike. Getting one of those,
yeah,
like,
that'll count.
Really ever thinks about.
We're gonna find out that Mitch McGarry's mom is Italian, or like Steve Blake's mom is Italian, or something.
He's got the hairline of an Italian. That's for sure.
Yeah, Steve Blake, Mitch McGarry, Luigi Totomi, all those count. Those are all interchangeable in terms of memeable players for this pod. So let's go ahead and get into our first topic here, because I know that we could talk about meme players for quite a while. Cade Cunningham, excited about the possibility of being drafted by the Pistons. ESPN's Jonathan Givony reported that about Cade's interest and excitement about being drafted by Detroit, but reports continue to circulate that the Pistons have shown interest in G League Ignite guard Jalen Green and USC big Evan Mobley. They're also open to trading the number one overall pick as well. I feel like we're going to be talking this into the ground until the draft actually happens, and it will only get louder and louder as we get closer to the draft, as we try to draw interest in an otherwise unnoteworthy number one overall pick, because he's been pegged as the number one pick for quite a while. I'm going to continue to say that this is nothing more than drawing up interest and stirring the pot. And I tweeted this out. This is due diligence by the Pistons as well. Any thoughts on the report that the Pistons continue to show interest in Jalen Green and Evan Mobley?
I just feel like so much of this is just talk, and it's a couple things here. So first off, the reporting that Cade Cunningham excited about the prospect of being drafted by the Pistons, like, that is great. That's obviously something you love to hear. You never want to be on the clock, a chance to draft a generational type talent, and for him to be like, well, I really don't want to be there, so this really isn't going to work out. And in a player empowerment league, ever more than it's ever been in today's day and age, you know, that could very much change how Detroit operated in the draft. Like, let's say Cade didn't want to be drafted by the Pistons, then it kind of becomes, well, do we trade the pick, or do we go after one of these other young guys that we like in Jalen Green or Evan Mobley? So that's the first thing I wanted to touch on there. I think that's great. Cade kind of fits into that mold of Troy Wheeler guys, high character, competitive, multi-dimensional, versatile. Like, Cade really fits the bill of a Troy Weaver guy, which kind of makes all this extra talk about Jalen Green, Evan Mobley trading the pick just a little bit more confusing. I get it doesn't matter what draft, no matter who's being drafted, every year there's going to be some talk of, well, this team's, they're checking every option, they're doing their due diligence. Like, of course, everybody does that every year, and that's totally expected. But this year, and maybe it's because we're all a little bit closer to the situation, it almost feels like there's just a lot more talk about it. And it just really, there really shouldn't be any talk about it. We've talked about it on the podcast since they've won the lottery. Cade Cunningham is the number one pick. There's really no question about it. And it would be a mistake from the Pistons if they decided to do anything else with the pick, unless they are trading it for some package that is of surreal value that we obviously don't know about yet. But when it comes to drafting, if you're using the number one pick, it's got to be Cade Cunningham. All this talk, all these rumors, that's not a knock on guys like Jalen Green or Evan Mobley. I like them both. I think they both have careers in the NBA. I think they both can have pretty good careers in the NBA. But I just think Cade Cunningham is on a different level. I said it before. I said it on last week's podcast. I watched, you know, five games and two games. I watched five of Cade. I watched two of Jalen Green one day. And yes, there were more opportunities for Cade to do this, but Cade just jumped off the screen in every game. Whereas he just outshined a guy like Jalen Green, who was good. Like, no questions, no doubt about it. Good. But Cade is just on that other level. Jalen Green, phenomenal scorer. But guess what? Cade had 30-point games. I think he had a 40-point game, and Cade does a lot of other things. He's already a good defender. He's going to be he would be a really nice defensive pairing with Killian Hayes in the backcourt. He rebounds well. He is a very good passer. That's why he's being called a 6'8 guard. That's why he's drawing comparisons to Luka Doncic, because not only can he score, but he's also an elite passer at that 6'8 size. So much to like about Cade Cunningham. All this talk, it's actually getting a little bit, not worrisome, but it's just like, what's really going on here? Why is there all this extra talk? But I think at the end of the day, Troy Weaver, he is hit on every draft decision he's made so far. He's going to hit again. He's got an obvious hit here and a generational talent in Cade Cunningham.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that I've seen people talk about in regards to Jalen Green is his amazing physical tools. Like, this guy can jump out of the gym, can send guys spinning one way with his crossover. You know, first step off the dribble is lightning quick. But like, Cade Cunningham has physical tools of his own. He's at least 4 inches taller than Jalen Green is. I know that Jalen Green is listed at 6'5". I don't think he's 6'5". And like, that is something that you can't forget about either. Like, it's a crucial aspect of it. That size for Cade is a really, really big factor, especially when you're talking about in the NBA against guys who are going to be, you know, you're going to come up against wing defenders that are 6'7", 6'8", and can move. Yeah, I mean, I look at it the same way I think you do, Aaron. It's going to take that Godfather type offer, right, in order to pry me away from Cade. Like, I'm not leaving my girlfriend. Now, if Rihanna and Margot Robbie have something to say to me, I'm going to listen, but I'm not leaving my girlfriend. I love my girlfriend.
This is That's why he's on the show, folks. This is why.
Yeah, that's right. And God, by the way, if Margot Robbie, I'm sorry.
If you have a girlfriend, you are on thin ice, my friend. Be very careful.
Luckily, she doesn't care about the Pistons.
There we go. Okay.
So, but of course, if Rihanna and Margot Robbie are listening, my DMs are open as always.
Wow.
Big Pistons fans, Rihanna and Margot Robbie.
Of course. Nope. Well, hey, if LeBron signs, Rihanna actually might. But yeah, no, it seems about that simple for me. Honestly, at this point, that's the guy you're taking. And the more film I watch on Cade, and the more film I watch on Mobley, and don't even, like, Jalen Suggs is not even in that discussion for me at this point. But Jalen Green, the more film I watch on them, I see more of the downsides to them. You go, wow, okay, Jalen Green can really score. Wow, Evan Mobley really has some amazing defensive abilities and can pass so well for a big man. But you can also see the downsides. They're very apparent with both of those guys. With Mobley, you go, I don't necessarily see the motor on offense to where this guy can be your first option. With Green, I don't see the passing ability. I'm not really sure that the defense is there yet either. I don't see the size. With Cade, the more I watch of him, I go, well, yeah, I mean, he doesn't have the fastest, quickest dribble ever. Maybe he's a little tall. He could, you know, stand to tweak a couple things, but overall, he's already there. Like, you see already what the final product will be, and that final product is potentially all NBA. So for me, yeah, there's no question. I'm holding on to that pick, unless, of course, like I said, you're getting that really Godfather gun to my head offer.
And, you know, that is a good segue, because in that report from ESPN, it mentioned that the Cavaliers, Pelicans, the Rockets are all in that same, you know, that are in that area are looking to move up. Now, oh, and I believe Oklahoma City is in that list as too. Cleveland, Houston, New Orleans, Oklahoma City. I'll be honest, as a Cleveland Cavaliers fan, primarily 1A, there's really nothing that I think the Pistons would want aside from a Paul George-esque, like just mammoth trade. And even then, you know, it might not be worth it. And the Cavs would never do that. What sort of Godfather offer would you be looking at? Would you be looking at the Luka Doncic, Trae Young-esque like swap?
No, because I think there's such a difference between these prospects, if we're being honest. Like, you have a guy who is surefire, no doubt, and then you have other guys who could be great, but there are questions regarding. And if you're the Pistons, you're in a position right now where you need to take that surefire, no doubt player. And the teams behind you can't really make offers that are going to be worth it. Like you said, like a Paul George offer. But the Pistons don't need a Paul George. That wouldn't help them. Like, Colin Sexton does nothing for this Pistons team. Even if you do add the third pick into the mix, this doesn't elevate them to anywhere that they haven't been before, in my eyes. So yeah, if I'm being honest, a team would have to move up into like Oklahoma City. Here's the only thing I could maybe see. If the Rockets or Cleveland could somehow get two of the, you know, pick number two and pick number three, or pick number two and pick number four, I think maybe then you think about it, because you're certainly going to get two really, really, really good, potentially great prospects. But other than that, I don't see a path for that for those teams. And therefore, I don't really see a path to it for the Pistons either.
Aaron, any thoughts on a trade? I mean, the Thunder have an enormous treasure chest of draft picks.
I mean, if they're talking Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and a couple first round picks, like,
they aren't.
Exactly, they aren't. But if they were, that's what you consider. That's that Godfather type offer that you would consider, because you could say, oh, well, SGA fits in at the two spot, another dual guard, plays alongside Killian Hayes, like, that can work. And we get a couple first round picks out of it for a team that's going to be god awful for at least one season, probably more. So you're talking maybe two lottery picks or something along those lines. But that's just not going to happen. And that's fine, because you have the opportunity to draft the guy of your team. Like, you have your 1A in theory. If you draft Cade Cunningham, you have a guy that you can build around. Like, Killian Hayes, Isaiah Stewart, even Sadiq Bey, like, those are all nice pieces, but those are building pieces. You need a guy that is the foundation. Cade Cunningham is that. So unless you're getting some type of trade where you're getting a really young player and other assets attached to it, or you're getting, you know, six first round picks or some other worldly type offer in that regard, you're holding on to this draft pick at number one, right when you're on the clock. Ding, ding, ding. The pick is in. It's Cade Cunningham. Like, let's get to it. I'm sick of this debate. And
yeah,
the Pistons have had the pick, the first round, the first pick in the draft for what, 3 weeks now? I'm sick of the debate.
Nah, let me leave it at this. If you win the lot, if you have a winning lottery ticket, you don't then sell it for a whole bunch of other lottery tickets, right? You just take the money. Right now, the Pistons have the money in their hands. Don't overthink this. Like, it's that simple. You already got what you need. You got what you want. You got to the end of that road already after just 1 year of dedicated tanking, and you did it the right way. So yeah, don't overthink this. Take the money, walk away.
Right. And really, I feel like the first two picks are pretty much solidified. Seems like Jalen Green is going two, and then Evan Mobley will, dear Lord, I hope, go three. So it just doesn't make sense to trade that pick unless you get some overwhelmingly lopsided offer. It just doesn't make any sense. You have heard about the fit, fits well. And most importantly, it's all led up to this moment. All the tanking, all the losing, all the buying out, all of it has led up to this moment. And now it just doesn't seem like Troy Weaver would let a little bit of pressure undo that, essentially. It just, we're going to have this conversation more and more and more and more as we get closer to the draft. So I hope you're not too burned out of it yet, because it is going to pop up again. But the prospect of Cade Cunningham with this young foundation, with Sadiq Bey, Isaiah Stewart, Killian Hayes, Jeremy Grant, is enticing. And two of those guys were named to the USA Select team, Bey and Isaiah Stewart. They will join Jeremy Grant at Team USA training camp. Essentially, the Select team, correct me if I'm wrong, they sort of are the squad that plays against Team USA to kind of gear them up, correct?
Yeah, so they go to the camp with Team USA, and they're essentially like the practice squad, the scrimmage squad that they're training with up until they leave for the Olympics. So they're with them, and they get that practice, they get the court time. Like, they're it's not like they're just there as their own team having their own practice slots. Like, they're there with the actual Team USA. They're with Jeremy Grant, Bam Adebayo, who didn't dap up Jeremy Grant in that video that's going around social media right now.
Yikes.
Bradley Beal, like all those guys, Kevin Durant, they're there with them. They're practicing with them. They're scrimmaging with them, whatever they're doing. So they're together, which is why this is such a good thing for those guys in the Pistons.
Yeah. And it's not just, we're not talking about like scrubs, just like warm bodies for them to play against. Like, there's legitimate players in that Select team. Darius Garland, Tyrese Halliburton, Tyler Hero, Keldon Johnson, Emmanuel Quickly, PJ Washington, Patrick Williams, like the list goes on.
Darius Garland first to appease to Mike.
I may have been sucking up a little bit on that one, but actually in my opinion, I do think he is probably the best of the bunch right now, but still, like, this is not nothing. This is really something very good. And we already saw it, of course, with both Isaiah Stewart and Sadiq Bey being named to all rookie teams. They're clearly perceived in the league as being in the upper echelon of young prospects from last year's class, or even the last 2 years' class. So yeah, if you're Troy Weaver, you got to be feeling great about that. If you're the Pistons, you got to be feeling fantastic that even though you had the second worst record in the NBA, you had three guys that were chosen to represent the United States in some way, shape, or form in these Olympics. I mean, what's not to like about it? And they're with what? Eric Spoelstra, right? Like, can you imagine a better
Greg Popovich?
And Greg Popovich, like the two best head coaches, in my opinion, probably in the NBA right now. So it's nothing but good for their development. It's nothing but good for the Pistons. And it's just a good sign that this organization continues to build upon what was basically nothing at the end of last season.
I think it also just kind of comes off as more validation, not just from people that maybe have blinders on when talking about the Pistons, but it's validation from across the league that these guys are talented. These guys have a future. These guys are legitimate, and it's a validation of what Troy Weaver is doing as well. So it's great. And one other thing I wanted to mention about this, you look at this roster, and outside of these G League guys like John Jenkins or Cam Reynolds, everyone else is a rookie or a sophomore from this past season, except for Miles Bridges, who I think is in like, is he in year four? I think
he's going into year four.
He's going to be going in. Okay. So he's playing.
Right?
I just felt like he was like, just some, like, you look at these guys and you see first year and second year.
And he was drafted in 2018.
Yeah. Yeah. He's going into year four, but he's 20. He's going to be what? 23.
So he'll still 23.
Yeah, he just turned 23, yeah, so he's young, very young.
Like, it just doesn't, like, match because everyone else is either a rookie or just coming off their second season. But, no, just, again, there's not really much more to delve into unless we get some great stories out of this. But it's great that Stewart and Sadiq Bey there. It's great to have another representation alongside Jeremy Grant. We saw the quote today about Bradley Beal saying, yeah, I'd imagine these guys talk about teaming up here a lot. So it's great to have three representatives from your team there with all of those guys, being able to build relationships, talk, and maybe chat it up about, hey, Bradley Beal, you'd look pretty good in a Pistons jersey since you can't get it done in Washington, or, you know, whoever. It's just a great opportunity for that as well.
I was going to say, Bradley Beal's already used to playing in red, white, and blue.
Yes. Hey, right? Kind of works. It just kind of works.
Jasper, I appreciate the sucking up. We would have also accepted trying to get Kevin Love on the Pistons.
Oh, God.
So those were the two possible sucking up answers you could have given me. So it is still an A, but there was another option out there.
What's Kevin Love going to do for the Pistons? Be
not
White Udonis Haslam?
He's not going to be on the Cavs. Next question, please.
Yeah.
It's very encouraging to see Bay and Stewart get the recognition, because I feel like, and Aaron, you had mentioned it with the blinders on, everybody overvalues their own prospects. Everybody values their own prospects much higher than what they're actually worth. People wouldn't trade Colin Sexton for Cade Cunningham. I would trade Colin Sexton for Cade Cunningham.
Wait.
Like if Detroit had said, I want the third pick and Colin Sexton for Cade Cunningham, I think that's money in the bank. Book it. Call it in.
There are
everybody. People... Yeah.
No, there's not. Are you serious?
There are. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
That is insane.
That's who like a. People? That's like Lakers fans with. It's like Lakers fans with Kyle Kuzma.
That's an excellent you know what I mean? Question. I put that in our group chat. What's the best the Lakers could get for Talen Horton Tucker, a second round pick, and Kyle Kuzma?
Damian Lillard, according to their fan base.
I almost threw Tim out of the chat saying Colin Sexton. But, like, exactly. We always overvalue our own players. And it was really easy to overvalue guys like Bay and Stewart because no one watched the Pistons last year. We knew how good they were. We watched the games. We saw the progression. But for them to get the recognition for Team USA, that has a more impactful feeling. That should add on to the excitement that Cade Cunningham reportedly has in coming to the Pistons. And ideally, that would lead them into the playoffs and eventually lead them into the NBA Finals, where the Phoenix Suns are. They won game one over the Milwaukee Bucks. Chris Paul was a mid-range maestro. Devin Booker had 27. And DeAndre Ayton, you know, he's going to get a lot of flack for being the guy that was taken ahead of Luka Doncic. But DeAndre Ayton is pretty freaking good and should hopefully reestablish some value for the young big man. As for some reason, people are scared of Evan Mobley for some reason, because he's a big, I don't exactly know if those people have watched college basketball at all, but Ayton has been very good. Giannis looked pretty fine. His knee looked fine. Guys, any thoughts on game one with the Suns pulling out a 1-0 lead?
So this is,
oh, sorry, Aaron, please.
So this is shaping up to be an incredible series. I think this is a series that has potential to go seven. Obviously, Phoenix was leading the charge there, but you saw Milwaukee kind of stick in it, and they put a good attempt at a comeback. Chris Middleton is phenomenal. Some of the shots that he hits are not from this planet. I don't understand how he does it. They're going to need a little bit more out of some other guys. You know, after Jrue Holiday, they're kind of struggling to get production. Like, Brooke got them some points yesterday, but he wasn't doing them any favors really defensively. And they need him on that side of the floor because he is such a good rim protector. But they're going to need some more, and they're probably going to need some more from Giannis as well. Chris Middleton can't be the guy and not have Giannis there alongside him. Only 20 points for him. Need to see him get involved a little bit more. You know, that's a guy that can get you 35. And when you're talking about the NBA Finals and you're talking about Chris Middleton being the only guy to get over 25, like, you need some more help because you're not playing everyone as much. And some of these guys are not getting the shot attempts that they were getting in the regular season or even in, you know, the first or second round of the playoffs. I mean, you know, you look at Phoenix and it was really their three guys leading the way, and Milwaukee's got to get more out of their three guys. Like Drew Holiday's got to figure out this shooting. You know, one night he's hitting them all and he's hitting some crazy shots, and the next night he can't find the basket for the life of him. But it was good to see Giannis get back out there. He did look relatively healthy. You couldn't really see too much where it was like, oh, he's definitely hindered when he's doing this or that. You know, I think this is a good matchup for both teams, because I think having two guards that can go out and score, like, it's going to be fun watching guys like Drew Holiday chase around Devin Booker. And then on the flip side, like, how do you defend Giannis? What kind of adjustments does Giannis make when the Suns are throwing Mikal Bridges at him and then they go to Jay Crowder, like the different looks that they throw at him? I enjoyed game one. I wish the game started like a half hour earlier. Just tough for me for the game to finish at like 11:30. If it had ended at 11, like, perfect. But I also am just an old man and get tired pretty early. But great first game. Excited for the rest of the series. That's where a lot of my betting action is coming from.
There we go.
So all in all, I enjoyed it. I love seeing DeAndre and playing well as well and getting that recognition. Yes, Luka should have been drafted first. Yes, Trae Young should have been drafted second. But DeAndre Ayton, he's having a hell of a playoffs. A lot of people were already writing him off after one season, and he's come out, made some huge improvements, has taken that leadership that Devin Booker and certainly Chris Paul have instilled and used with him, and he's taken in a run, playing a huge factor for them. Just an absolutely dominant performance. Happy to see him succeeding as well. Excited for the rest of the series.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to double down on your old man comment. It's ridiculous that game did not tip off until 9:12 last night. 9:13 maybe even. Just, like, ridiculous. Don't say you're going to start the game at 9 o'clock and then start it at 9:15. It's one of those things that really, really bugs me about the NBA. It shows a real lack of respect for their East Coast viewers. And it's weird that a league that's so invested in bringing in young, new viewers does that to people that are not going to be able to stay up till 11:30 midnight to watch a playoff game on a Tuesday. Doesn't make any sense to me. Off my soapbox now. I thought last night was fascinating for a lot of reasons. First off, I totally agree with you. Ayton was fantastic. He ate Brooke Lopez alive. And that for me was very telling, but that Dario Saric injury, I think, is going to play a really big role in this series. Because now Ayton can't play a full 48. So now if the Suns are going to have to make a decision, are you going to risk putting Frank Kaminsky out there against Brook Lopez, who will destroy him? Or are you going to commit to playing small, which opens you up to Giannis, or even then, Brook, even then, potentially hurting you on the interior? That's going to be a really interesting chess match, because Monty Williams has proven throughout this whole playoff run, that he's capable of making those adjustments, not just from game to game, but also in game. And Budenholzer has proven the opposite, that he's really not good at making adjustments at all, even when they seem very obvious to people watching at home. Drew Holiday, I also have to say, not just was bad on offense, was really bad defensively. And that was maybe the most shocking aspect of last night's game to me, where you had Jay Crowder, who couldn't hit a shot to save his life, and the Suns still won fairly comfortably. And if it wasn't for that Saric injury, honestly, I think I would be looking at the Bucks and saying, you guys might be in trouble here, because it seems like outside of those top three guys, if just one of those top three guys for them isn't hitting shots, the offense isn't really coming from anywhere else. And that can be a problem when you're facing a team like the Suns, who can get scoring from anywhere on the court. You saw it just last night. Like, Mikal Bridges hit some really big shots for them. Devin Booker hit really big shots. Torrey Craig didn't do much in last game, but he can hit big shots. Cam Payne can hit big shots. Cam Johnson can hit big shots. And that, I think, for me, is that supporting cast plays a huge, huge role in this series. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what the Bucks do as kind of that counterpunch to what the Suns did to them last night. I don't know. I'm not really sure that Budenholzer can do it. But, hey, I'll say this. After Giannis went down with that knee injury, I thought he was not just done for this playoff run. I thought he was out for next season. I thought in my mind, I was like, oh, that's a torn ACL. And the fact that he's not just back, but looks as springy as he does is amazing to me. Like, what else can you ask for your franchise player if you're the Milwaukee Bucks? This dude comes in with a great attitude, does everything for that team, works so hard for that city, is a great ambassador for the game, has an amazing story with coming from Greece, growing up as poor as he did. Just seems like an amazing guy. And now that he's achieved so much, he still is putting everything on the line every single game. It's really cool to see. And, you know, I think a lot of NBA players get flack for maybe not being as quote unquote tough as they were in the 90s and 80s, but I don't see how you can look at someone like Giannis Antetokounmpo and tell me that guy's not tough. That's a tough guy. So yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I was thinking maybe it was going to go 5 or 6, but after this Saric injury, and I feel ridiculous for saying that, I do think 7 games is definitely a possibility.
Real quick, I want to circle all the way back to when you were talking about Cam Johnson. I mentioned validation earlier in the show.
Oh, I know.
I just want to validate what I was talking about a couple of years ago when the Pistons were trying to put together a winning team. Mm. I said Cam Johnson at 15. I know that's a stretch. I know in the mocks he's like all the way up at 25, 30. Like, but I'm telling you, this guy's going to come in right away. He's got the shooting. He's got the length. Like, this guy has it to come in and help a team compete and help team win right now, then and there. And then all of a sudden, James Jones out of left field takes him at, I think it was 11 or 12. I think 11, though. And everyone's like, what the hell? What's going on? Meanwhile, in the back of my head, I'm like, that's a really good freaking pick. Granted, I don't think for Phoenix it was. But then all of a sudden, Phoenix got the right pieces. And a year later, they're in the playoffs. And these teams are talking about, oh, we're really worried about Cam Johnson. Like, this guy can hit it from anywhere. He's causing havoc for us defensively. Like, there's just certain players, like, yeah, the age factor, him being, I think he was 23, maybe already 24, coming out of college. Like, that's tough. But if you're trying to win, like, age doesn't mean the most. You just need guys that are going to help you win ball games. Cam Johnson does that. Just kind of want to validate for all of my wrong opinions that get talked about. I want to circle back and validate this right opinion. And I was just very happy you brought him up. So thank you.
Of course. Look, you're talking to the guy who wanted Brandon Clark at 15. So I also liked Cam Johnson. Those were the two guys I really wanted the most. So I'm going to piggyback onto your validation. Give myself a nice little pat on the back too. And Mike, anything Jasper, you want to yeah. congratulate yourself for? Or?
No, no, I am definitely sitting on the sidelines because I don't have any investment really in the finals. I do like, speaking of Cams, Cameron Payne was borderline out of the NBA.
Borderline, he like, was. He was
like out, and now he is a vital component to that bench.
Yeah,
that is pretty freaking cool.
I remember watching him when the Pistons played him in that first, it was what? Gosh, like the 10th game of the season, very, very early on, and watching him play and being blown away because he looked like a completely different player than he had before. He was unplayable for the first few years of his career. Like, the guy came in and
yeah,
it almost seemed like everything he did was embarrassing. And now you look at him and the swagger, it's like, yes, it's this is why you don't give up on young players.
Right. And he's a vital component of that second unit, the ancillary pieces. And that's really the difference. The Phoenix Suns do have a bench of quality guys who you can put out there and feel comfortable that they're not going to totally screw up a lead. And the Bucks may have had that with Dante DiVincenzo, but they're scrambling. I saw Bryn Forbes take one of the most ugly shots I have ever seen in my whole life. I don't like Jeff Teague. I haven't for a long time. That bench and Pat Connaughton too, getting 30 minutes. I mean, they're scraping the bottom of the barrel, trying to find stuff that fits. And the Suns just have this very balanced starting lineup with quality backups that come in and fill those gaps imperfectly when someone has to hit the bench. And that is just going to ring really true, especially if Drew Holiday continues to play poorly. I mean, he was the guy that as soon as the Bucks got him, I know that I was thinking, okay, he is so significantly better than Eric Bledsoe. He's going to make such a difference down the stretch when it matters most. And he was good during the season, but they need him to step up. The Bucks need him to step up. They needed Chris Middleton to do it when he was in his shooting funk. He stepped up. He's hitting shots. He's doing what he needs to do. Giannis, like you guys said, out there on the floor, counting to 10 for every free throw. But he's out there, and they need Drew Holiday to do the same thing, or else they're dead in the water.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't even have to be he doesn't need to give you 30 points, but, like, he can't be playing garbage defense on Chris Paul and Devin Booker like he was last night. Those guys were getting to every spot they wanted to on the floor, and that, for me, was kind of shocking, to be honest. Almost as shocking as seeing Bryn Forbes out on the floor with under 5 minutes to play when the Bucks needed a stop. So
hideous.
Ugh. Yeah, you don't like to see hideous. That. Hideous. Almost hurt almost as much as Devin Booker's comments regarding looking up to Rip Hamilton and Drake Harris and loving the Pistons. I was like, oh God, don't remind us.
Yeah, that hurt. Look back to the draft order. That just look back at the draft order. Get ready for Cade and you know, just enjoy that bit. That's all that you can do. Yeah, they don't need Drew to shoot the ball 25 times a game. They just need him to be not unplayable defensively. They need him to not let Chris Paul get to the free throw line, because as soon as Chris Paul snakes through a pick and roll, gets to the free throw line, I feel like it's money, like 90% of the time. That is a mid-range J. You know, the Bucks just may as well start walking back, because – I mean, honestly, both him and Booker, the mid-range is just killer. It's just absolutely killer, and that's the way that they play. You know, they snake around the picks, and they get to their spots. They're very, very good at it.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult.
They're cerebral out there. When those two are getting to their spots, and then you have Ayton down low, Suns are going to be really tough to beat, also because they don't turn the ball over. Like, they had 9 turnovers, and that's – I mean, Milwaukee only had 13, which is still pretty good, but the Suns only had 9. Like, they protect the basketball. They get to their spots. They're just so tough to beat. And then when they compete like they do on the defensive end, and they have those scrappy guys like Crowder, like Paul, like Campaign, like, they have such a good mix and such a good leader, such a good head coach in Monty, that it's no surprise, one, that they're here, and two, that they just beat the Bucks in game one and are now leading in the finals. So all props to the Suns, and props to Mike for not being a douche and validating one of his former opinions.
Just wait. Something will come up. Something will pop up. Guys, any other thoughts on Bucks Suns? Who, like, just real quick, who do you have for game two?
I'll go first real quick. I think Milwaukee's going to tie it up. It's just bound. I think this is one of those series that just goes back and forth. That's just how I feel about it. I think these two teams are really equal. Obviously, the Suns got the jump in game one. We'll see a better Bucks team in game two. I hope I didn't just jinx them because I have a tendency to do that, but I'll go with the Bucks tying the series up.
You know, this might be a bit of a cop-out, but I need to really see what Monty Williams is going to do in order to counter that Dario Saric injury, because he played some really crucial minutes for them on that second unit. And what Milwaukee does have the advantage in, other than DeAndre Ayton, is size. And if they can create matchup problems on that second unit, that's how they can get back into the game. And for me, depending on what Monty Williams does there and how Budenholzer decides to counter it, that's really going to be the deciding factor for me. Because if the Suns can't deal with it, if the Suns can't deal with the loss of Saric, then yeah, of course, I think the Bucks are tying this thing up. But if they do have an answer to the loss of that and they can still contain the Bucks size when they don't have Ayton in the game, I think this could still be a pretty short series, if we're being honest. I think it could finish up in five, maybe six.
So your pick is nobody.
My pick is whatever makes me look right in hindsight. Oh, that's exactly God. It. No, so I would say
Brian Windhorst of the podcast here to make any predictions.
No, I really though, I need to see what Monty Williams decides to do, because that's going to make a huge, huge difference in how this series plays out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is. I'll tell you, game three. Fine. Let me leave it at this. Once game three rolls around, I'll tell you exactly what I think is going to happen.
You're going to tell me who's going to win game two?
Exactly.
Okay. Oh gosh.
No, I'll have a real answer for you in game three, because I need to see this counter. I need to see this counter from Monty. Yeah.
Okay. I'll take the Bucks too. I think that they'll make the adjustments. And that's really going out on a limb, assuming that Mike Budenholzer is going to make any adjustment. But I will go ahead and say that they will tie it up. For the sake of, you know, tying this up and making the series even more interesting heading back to Milwaukee, that's a huge win for the Bucks to get one out there in Phoenix.
Yeah, they also played terribly, let's be honest, in game one. Like, they did not have a good game, so... Yeah, that's gonna be a big thing too. Not just the counters, but like, yeah. Are they gonna show up? And they really need to.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, guys, any other last minute thoughts on Suns Bucks?
Nothing on Suns Bucks. My last words of the podcast: Cade Cunningham, Detroit Piston.
And that's a pretty good way to end it. I think that's a pretty good way to end it, Jasper.
Cade Cunningham, Detroit Piston.
Do I ask you to make a prediction, or are you going to tell me who the Pistons draft after the draft?
Oh, my God. No, this time I'll tell you. Cade Cunningham, Detroit Pistons, lock it in. That's Jasper's stone-cold lock of the century of the week.
Century of the week. Okay. I followed it for a little bit. Okay. Yeah, I am going to go with Cade to the Detroit Pistons as well. That's a good way to end it.
Oh.
Guys, go
ahead. And. Italy beats England on Sunday. That's it. There Italy beats go. England on Sunday. There we go.
I'm a soccer podcast. I'm in.
That sounds great.
They already do.
So now we have a soccer pod. A little while back, we had a golfing pod because I would constantly bring up the Masters and stuff like that. Now we're on to soccer. So excellent. We'll just keep on moving along. excellent, guys. Thank you very much for joining me. As always, again, we're going to be fighting off the Cade Cunningham to anybody else rumors for just a few more weeks, but I promise after that, and after Detroit does take Cade Cunningham, we can all heave a sigh of relief and move on to Aaron's favorite topic, and that would be the NBA Summer League. But a few more weeks until that, and of course, all of you listeners, we hope that you will join us for that as well. So for my co-hosts, Aaron Johnson and Jasper Apollonia, I am Mike Angelano. Thank you so much for joining us. We will see you next time, Pistons fans.